in your worship bulletin, you'll find an area in the middle when you open your worship bulletin called Scripture Surfing. And if you're new with us, as you read through these passages, as you spend time with the Lord and read through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, read through these readings, when you come, we'll have readings from each of those chapters. And so we want to do that right now. And let's look at last Thursday's reading. We'll look at Thursday's and Friday's readings of last week. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 5, and we'll have some readings. Genesis chapter 5. And actually, you'll want to hold your place here. We're going to dive down in Genesis 5 in just a few moments. Hold that place and then turn to Genesis chapter 6. And if you're new at this, there's a Bible beside you in the chair, and that's the first book. Pretty easy to find. Hold chapter 5 and Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. And so God cut the lifespan. People used to live hundreds and hundreds of years, but here's where God cut the lifespan. Now we have the span that we do. Then in Genesis chapter 7, look at verse 5. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah's a great man of God to study. If you just want to do a character study and just look at his life, just read these chapters. And maybe you've already been doing that. Read these chapters on Noah. Noah's just a man of obedience. Just whatever the Lord said, he just did it. It had never rained before. Things were different back then. It had never rained. And God told him, build this ark. There's no water. Doesn't matter what the neighbors think of you. Build this huge ark. And Noah obeyed. He did everything just as the Lord commanded. Do you obey when you don't understand? When it doesn't make any sense? We need to be like Noah. Then look at chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. So God floods the earth. There's nothing but wickedness. Every person on the earth is wicked except Noah. And those that are with Noah, Noah gets to save some others with him. And God floods the whole earth. And the earth has been covered in water, so Noah sends out these birds as tests to see if these birds come back. When will the water recede enough? When will there be land again? And so in chapter 8, look at verse 11 and 12. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. Then look at chapter 9 in verse 3. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. So God changes the diet here. Now eat anything. Eat these animals. And then let's turn over to Matthew in our New Testament readings. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Your New Testament, if you're new at this, that's the last third of the Bible. Turn to the last third, and that's the first book in the New Testament. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 8. This is John the Baptist speaking. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. That's a good word for all of us. You producing fruit in keeping with your repentance, your salvation. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Then in chapter 4, look at verse 4. Jesus has fasted in the desert. He's very hungry. The devil tempts him. Because Jesus has all the power in the world, he can certainly make some rocks turn into bread. The devil tempts him to do that. Jesus says in verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." That's a good word for you and me. You know, yes, we sustain our physical bodies with physical food, but Jesus said, you don't live by that. If you want to truly live, you need the Word of God. You need to feed on the Word of God just as much as you ever eat any physical food. You need to have my spiritual food if you really want to live. We need God's Word. And then turn back to Psalm 3. That's going to be in your middle of the Bible, and then go back a little bit. If you see Isaiah, keep on turning backwards. Proverbs backwards, and then you'll find Psalms chapter 3, verse 3. God's Word tells us this. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. And then chapter 4, we already read during our prayer time. Let's turn back to chapter 5 of Genesis. And let's take a walk with God this year. Genesis chapter 5. Let's look at verses 18 through 27. And the title of this message is, Take a Walk with God This Year. 2013 is here. Will you take a walk with God this year? I love a good walk. I love a good walk. We rarely do it. We don't do it nearly enough, but I love it when our family takes a walk. We just all head out. Sometimes we've done that at dusk and the sun's setting and just head out and go on a walk together. I love a good walk together with somebody. We often do it at the lake. Allison's parents live on Lake Jordan, and oftentimes we go up there for any kind of occasion, holiday or whatever. We'll all have a meal, of course, and it just happens after these big meals on these occasions, different ones of us will just get together and we'll go walk. We'll go walk down that dirt road around the lake, and those walks are great. It's a great time to just catch up and just talk and be together. And you know, that's what a walk is. You know, it's a definition is it's traveling together, an excursion together. Well, you need to know this morning that God, in Genesis 5, God sums up a life in one of two ways. You notice that as you read the verses we're about to read and also the preceding verses and the verses after, you'll notice that when God looks at somebody's life, His description of a person, when He looks at their whole life through, here in Genesis 5, we see that He describes person after person and His whole sum up of their lives. His whole the sum of that person's life is summed up in one of two ways. This person was living, or this person walked with God. Now, in this passage, we only see one person that walked with God. We see a lot of people living. What about you? Are you living? How would God sum you up? How would He sum up your life? If it ended today, what would God say about your life? Would He say that you were living or you were walking with God? What would be said of you? Let's look at it in Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 to 27. We'll look at God's sum up of one man and then notice the difference in the second man that we'll read about. Genesis 5, 18 to 27. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God Then he was no more because God took him away. And then the third person follows the same pattern as the first person. We don't hear about him walking with God. We hear about him living. In verse 25, when Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. Are you living, or are you walking with God? What would be said of you if God summed up your life? You know, an epitaph is a phrase or a statement that often sums up somebody's life. Many times you'll see it on a tombstone. When you go to a cemetery, you'll see different phrases on these tombstones. And it's kind of the sum up in a phrase, just a phrase or a statement of that person's life. What would be written in memory of you? What phrase or what statement would sum up your life? What would be your epitaph? What would be on your tombstone? And would you be able to say that the sum up of your life, the phrase or the statement in memory of you, would it be able to include that he walked with God or she walked with God? Do those words characterize your life? Well, if you want that, if you want that to be the sum up of your life, if you want it to be able to be said of you, this person walked with God. If you want God's sum up of you, instead of just saying, well, he lived, like Methuselah and the other. If you want God's sum up of you to be, she walked with God. He walked with God. Then you must have a few things. If you want your epitaph to be, he walked with God, you must do three things. There are three words. You must know, grow, and go. If you want it to be said of you, he or she walked with God, then you must have a relationship with God, first and foremost. You must know God. You've got to have a relationship. We see Jesus calling for that for you and for me, for every one of us. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. And when you eat with somebody, that's fellowship. There's a companionship. There's a closeness when you share a meal with somebody. And Jesus is saying, you could look at it as the door of your heart. That he's saying, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him, and he with me. Jesus is standing there knocking. And you have a choice. And you have either already let him in, you've already opened the door of your heart and said, come on in, Jesus, I'm yours. Save me from my sins. I want a relationship with you. Or you haven't, or you've kept that door shut. And you've heard his word, and you've heard his good news. It's called the gospel. And you've heard it over and over, and you've heard it different times, but you've kept that door shut. Or maybe you've just cracked it a little bit, and you've let him in a little ways, but you haven't opened it fully and just said, I'm yours. Take over me. You must have a relationship. You must know him personally. You must open that door of your heart and let him in. You want it to be said of you, this person walked with God. You must know him. You see, Jesus said that, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But then he talked about, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then I'm paraphrasing, but Jesus said, there'll be many on that day, in that last day, on judgment day, there'll be many that'll say, well, Lord, I drove out demons in your name. And I did this in your name. And they'll mention these acts of service. They'll mention ways that they served Him, ways they served the Lord. I did this and I did this and I did this for you and I did this in your name. And the sober, sad reality is, He said, but I will look at them and I will say, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, nothing you do matters for the Lord. You don't play any part in getting yourself to heaven. Jesus did everything. He did all the work and everything necessary to get you to heaven. You just receive Him. You just receive what He's done for you. You turn away from yourself and anything you've ever tried to do. You repent. You turn from all that. All your good works. The Apostle Paul said, I consider them all rubbish. That's a nice word for what he was saying. Just the trash, the nastiness of the world. That's all my good works. Everything he had, all his religious good works. He said, I consider them rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, it's in knowing Jesus personally that you are saved, that you have a relationship with Him, that it can be said of you, this person walked with God. Doesn't matter how much you've been in the church and how much you do for the Lord and how much you know about the Bible and God and Jesus. And you may be able to quote, you may know a lot more than most of the theologians out there. But it doesn't make a bit of difference unless you know Jesus personally. Doesn't matter how much you know in your head, there's a big difference. Miles and miles and miles separate a head knowledge and doing things for the Lord, trying to live right, trying to be a good Christian. Miles and miles separate that, a head knowledge, from a heart knowledge. And just crying out for mercy and saying, have mercy on me, Jesus. Thank you for what you did for me. I receive your free gift of eternal life. I put all my faith in you to save me from my sins. Nothing I can do. Forget all that. I just trust you. And then you enter into that relationship. See, you open the door of your heart and you say, come on in, Lord. I'm yours. And then you know Him. Do you have a head knowledge? Are you better than any theologian out there? You can tell us anything about Jesus in the Bible. You could still be on your way to hell if you don't know Him personally. Or are you over here with the heart knowledge, you know Him. You just simply put your faith in Him and cried out for a Savior because you knew you couldn't save yourself from your sins and that you were on your way to hell. And so you turned to your Savior and said, save me. I trust you to save me. Come into my life. So first of all, you must have a relationship. If you want it to be said of you, this person walked with God, you must have a relationship. You must know Him personally. Secondly, you must grow in Him. Not only know Him, but you must grow in Him. You see, you come into that relationship when you simply put your faith in Him. And you open that door of your heart. You say, come on and save me, Jesus. And then He comes in. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're brand new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away. You are brand new. And His Spirit now lives in you. And Jesus said in John 3:3, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You see, that's what happened over there. When you receive Him and you open your heart, He comes in and He gives life to you. He gives you His Spirit and you're alive and you're brand new. And once that happens, then you need to grow. You need to grow. How do you grow? You need to spend time together. We know that in any relationship. If a husband and a wife want to grow together in their marriage and they want to grow in that relationship, they got to spend time together. Anytime you want to get to know somebody, you want to develop a relationship, you got to spend time together. And so, to grow in Him, if you want it said of you, this person walked with God. You must know Him and you must grow in Him. You must spend time together. You see, in John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. You imagine a tree coming, an orange tree, and that huge trunk. Jesus is that trunk. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. You're just a branch hanging off that trunk. He said, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And you see, once you go over here and you give him your heart and you truly know him personally and you let him in, you give him your life. Once you know him personally with your heart, you're connected to him. And he's that tree trunk and you're a branch and you're on him. You're connected to him. You're going to start bearing fruit. You're going to start, the things coming out of your life are going to be the fruits of the Spirit. You're going to start bearing love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You'll be bearing fruit. And he said, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And as a believer, it holds true that as you live by faith and not by sight, as you stay focused on Jesus and connected to him, then you'll be bearing fruit. Anytime as a believer that we get our mind off of Jesus and we start doing it our own way and doing our own thing, what happens? We don't have fruit. And so, think about how close a branch and a tree trunk are. They are together. You need time together to grow. Jesus said, follow me. He wants you to stay close at his heels continuously. He wants you to live by faith, by what you can't see, not by the things you see in your circumstances and what they tell you and what everybody in the world tells you. He wants you to live by faith, in tune with him, listening for his voice, just operating by what he's telling you. Because you're his, you belong to him now, not yourself. And you grow that way. And you see, how do you get to know him? How do you spend time together right here? You get in his word. This is him. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The word of God has always existed. That's how we let somebody know who we are. You know me by my word. As we spend time together, how do you get to know me? Well, I talk to you and I communicate with you and then you get to know me. It's the same way with God. God gives you his word and he speaks to you if you're willing. He speaks to you. First you connect with him. You have that relationship. You let him in. And then he speaks to you. He speaks to your heart. And how do you get to know him? By his word. By what he says. He'll let you know who he is by his speaking to you. How does he speak to you? Well, he used to speak through the prophets. And then the word became flesh. His word, you know how he wants you to get to know him? His communication to you, at one time it became a person. The Word put on skin in a human body, and his name was Jesus Christ. And Jesus, God, lived among us. And you could go talk to God if you wanted to get to know him. You could go hang out with Jesus, and you get to know God, because he was God in the flesh. And then now we've been given the final form of the Word of God. It's in its written form. And so now if I want to get to know God, what do? I get the Word of God because I want to hear from him. I want to get to know him. So you get the Word of God. And more time you spend reading it or listening to it, however you want to receive it, the more and more you get into it, the more you hear from him, and the more you get to know him. How do you get to know him? Through his Word. Through prayer. I tell people, this book right here is much more like a cell phone than a book. It's how you listen. It's how you hear from God right here. And then, of course, you talk in prayer. You talk back to him. And you get to know him. And so, if you want it to be said of you, this person walked with God, you must know him in a relationship. You must grow in him, spending time together. And finally, you must go. You must go. In other words, you must be surrendered to him. You must do whatever he tells you to do. When you're in a relationship with him and you spend time with him, you're going to hear from him. And he's going to be telling you all kinds of things. And then the question is, do you obey those things? Do you live out what he said? Do you not just hear the things that he's saying? Let that be it. No, you hear the things and then you go and do them. That's being surrendered to him. That's going. It's growing in him and listening to him and then going and doing whatever he told you. living it out, acting it out. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And it's not just all his written commands. It is his written commands, but then it's also when you spend time with him. You wake up early in the morning and you get in his word so you can hear what he has for you that day and you can listen to him. And you can surrender to him and say, Lord, I'm yours. What are we doing today? What do you have going on? I just want to be where you are. I just want to join you in whatever you're doing today, Lord. I'm yours. Speak to me. Speak to me through your word so I know where we're going, what we're doing, whatever you want me to know. Let me know it. And I'll do it, Lord. And so you spend that time with him, growing in him. And then you go and you head out. And you go and do what he's telling you to do. You see, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Not just all the written ones, but whatever he's telling you when you spend that time with him. I want you to go and visit her. And you know it in your heart. And so you go. You're surrendered to him. And what do we know from his word? What do we know he wants us doing? If you have a relationship with him and you're growing in him, we already know that the greatest thing that he wants you doing, he told us in Matthew 22, is to love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. That's Matthew 22. He said, that's the greatest thing that I want you to do. Love me with all that you are, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, the second greatest thing you can do is love your neighbor as yourself. Love me, and then love others. So go and do that. And then he says, and then also, Matthew 28, before he ascended to heaven, he gave us this commission, and he said, go and make disciples of all nations, everybody. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And so we know that if you're a believer, if you're already over here and you know him and you're going to spend time with him and you're going to grow in him, then you already know that part of the go, part of what we know he wants you to do, the greatest thing he wants you to do is love him with all that you are, love your neighbor as yourself, and make disciples. Be helping people come to him. Be helping people come into a relationship with Jesus. And help people grow in him and get to know him better. That's what he wants you doing. We know that. And so, are you going? Are you surrendered to him and obedient to him? It's like this. It's like being in a car with him. And it's not like the bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. What he wants is the bumper sticker that says, God is my pilot. You see, it's like you're riding in a car with him all day long. There's your day. You're just driving with Jesus. And the way you do that, the way you go, is you go around to the passenger side, you open the door, and you get in, you shut the door, and you say, where are we going, Lord? That's what I was talking about in that prayer time with him. Where are we going, Lord? What you doing today? I just want to be with you. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll just be in this passenger seat. You drive. You see, you give him control. You surrender. And you go. That's how he wants us to live. He wants to be the one calling the shots, not you. He wants to be the boss, not you. And you see, you can trust him to do that. Because he's a loving Heavenly Father. He's a loving. I don't know what kind of relationship you had with the Father, but he's a loving daddy. All of us have seen a loving daddy and a small child, and that loving daddy hold that child and spin him around and lift him up and have fun with him. And that's what he is to you. He's a loving daddy. He said, call me Abba Father. That means daddy. And you see, he wants your best. He has your best in mind, and you can trust him to take care of you. You can surrender fully to him. You can open that door wide on your heart and say, come on in. That's the best life has to offer right there. Anytime you open the door just a little bit, or anytime you hold back some area of your life, that's where you have pain and destruction and disaster and death and all the negative. It's when you open wide and say, I'm yours, Jesus. Take all of me. That's where the life is. That's where the peace is. You can trust Him fully. When I was a student minister, every now and then we would do trust falls, and maybe you'd get up. I remember at one camp, Hannah may have been there, wherever she is. I remember at one camp, people got up on this, it was either a stage or a table, and you got up there like that, and all of us were down there making a big U, all holding hands together, and you're just supposed to shut your eyes and just fall back and just trust us, and we'll catch you. That's hard to do because you're putting your faith, you're trusting in a bunch of people who are flawed and sinful. And how do you know somebody's not going to say, come on, let's let him fall. Ooh, you better watch out. But you see, you can completely trust Almighty God, your Creator. You don't even have to think about it. You can just turn around and shut the eyes and just fall back. That's what He wants you to do. He invites you to do that. Father, we just say, we thank You, Lord, for Your love. And Lord, we want to walk with You, Lord. I bet everybody here, Lord, wants to walk with You, Lord. Each of us here wants it to be said of us, this person walked with God. And so, Lord, please, Lord, would You make sure everybody here today has a relationship with You? If they don't, Lord, in just a moment, as I pray, would they come into a relationship with You? And Lord, all of us that have a relationship, Lord, may we grow in You, spend a lot of time together. And as we do, Lord, may we then be surrendered to You and get in that passenger seat and go. Fall off that stage into Your arms and say, what do we have today, Lord? May we live like that, Lord. And Lord, for the one who wants that relationship, they're ready, Lord. Help them right now, Lord, to call out to You and say, have mercy on me, Jesus. I am a sinner. Lord, I know the penalty for my sin is death and hell, but I thank You that You already took it for me, Lord. I believe You went to the cross and you were punished for my sins and You're raised from the dead. And so, Jesus, I call on You and I ask You to save me from my sins. I know I can do nothing to save myself, but I know You can do everything to save me, and I already have. And so I trust in You, Jesus, and I say, I hear You knocking, and I open the door of my heart wide. And I say, Jesus, come on in. I'm Yours. Save me from my sins. I give my life to You. Thank You for this relationship. Thank You for coming in. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Chris leads us, if you've made that decision, if that was just you that prayed that, you called on the Lord, you come, step out of your seat. Jesus has said, follow me and come and do it public. You don't do it in private. Come and declare that. Let this body of believers know, I'm following Him now. I just opened my heart wide. I just gave my heart to Him. I'm His. You let us know that. The next step is baptism. We'll talk about that. But you come, if that's you, maybe you need to pray. You can pray at your seat. You can pray at the altar. Maybe the door of your heart hadn't been wide enough. Maybe that's what He's telling you. Maybe you're ready to just say, Jesus, I'm a believer. I know You personally, but Lord, I'm ready to say, wide open, I'm Yours. Come on and take over all of me, Lord. Maybe that's you. You do whatever the Lord tells you as Chris leads us.